You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We are back for hour number two. As always, live from the Seaport District, we're brought to you by Chase, and we're having a lot of fun. J.J. Redick is here, Brian Windhorst with us today. Stephen A. Smith coming in studio in this hour to chat with our friend Pat Bev. Wow, Pat Beverly, who was here and has just been sensational all morning long. Biana, let's do it. Let's start hour number two by getting to the Boston three party. That's where we're getting up. The Celtics bumped the Bucks. Is Boston now the favorite to win the entire thing? We'll talk about that in just a few minutes. Meanwhile, Luka rising from the ashes in Phoenix. He was brilliant, but what the actual heck happened to the Suns? Pat Bev has explanations, and you will hear them. Plus, have the Warriors found the golden path to another title? It's down to the final four in the NBA, and we're all over it all hour long on Get Up, which starts right now. With two game sevens in the NHL, could you ask for more? Overtime thrillers both. Penguins, Rangers, power play in the OT, and that's Artemi Panarin with the finish. 4-3 the win. It was the Rangers down 3-1 in this series. They come all the way back to win it in overtime. Game 7, they will face the Hurricanes next. Meanwhile, more Game 7 overtime drama in Calgary last night, tied at 2. Johnny Gaudreau with a rebound. We'll show it to you later. They managed to win that game. Here it is. It's Johnny Gaudreau beating Jake Oettinger, who was spectacular all night long. Oettinger had 64 saves, but he needed a 65th. Flames advance. They will play the Oilers in the second round. We sort of gave away what was next there, but it's the Mavs and the Suns who would go next. So Dallas had a very good night on the ice. And they had, a tough night on the ice. They had a very good night in the NBA. J.J. Redick, the Suns stars, their backcourt, Devin Booker and Chris Paul, 0-11 in the first half.
I mean, five straight games, CP struggles. Game 6 and Game 7, Devin Booker struggles. Give the Mavs a lot of credit. J. Kidd with a great game plan. And Luka Doncic, he snatched their soul from the beginning of this game, and they could not recover. Spencer Dinwiddie, who struggled a lot in this playoff series, had a little bit of momentum after Game 6 when he knocked down four threes. He was spectacular last night.
But it's Luka just sort of getting whatever he wants, whenever he wants. His performance in the first half last night is the stuff of legend. I can't say this enough times, as you see him doing it in the painted area and then the little turnaround three, and he's talking junk to absolutely everybody at halftime. The score of this game was Phoenix 27, Luka 27. The Mavs watch party was up for grabs. Second half, JJ, I'm thinking to myself, well, the Suns, they won 64 games. They're down 30 at halftime, but they will come out firing in the second half. It could not have been further from the case.
No, they were awful all night, and Luka was spectacular. And by the way, I was thinking about this watching the game last night. The basketball gods are real. Pat Bev?
I agree.
After that Game 2 press conference with D-Book and CP, the basketball gods allowed Dallas to get back in the game. Then Phoenix had another opportunity to not offend the basketball gods, and they were petty in that Game 5. Luka wants all the smoke. He's the wrong guy to test.
Let's hear from them after the game.
We don't know how far this can go. That's why we got to play them. That's why we showed up to play this evening. No one gave us a chance. A lot of people said it was going to be a blowout. Well, they were right. But they didn't have us on the winning side.
Were you aware at halftime you had as many points as the Suns?
Yeah, of course.
Just a tough game. All season long we try to lean on our defense. Tonight our defense wasn't there, our offense wasn't there either. So I think Coach said a lot of it. You know what I mean? You play all season to be in this situation and didn't work out for us.
All right, so look, the numbers are what the numbers are for Chris Paul and his postseason history. It's the fifth time He's been on a team that had a 2-0 lead in a best of seven and lost. No other player has done that more than three times, and the one who did is his former teammate, Blake Griffin. And we should point out CP3 and the Suns also had a 2-0 finals series lead last year against Milwaukee and couldn't get it done. And so, again, congratulations, Luka, brilliant. Congratulations, Mavericks, brilliant. They go on to play the Warriors. We'll have plenty of time to talk about that. The postmortem on the Suns is really where the interesting conversation is this morning. They won 64 games this year. Chris Paul is considered one of the greatest players at his position in NBA history. I mean, that's what people think. They call him the point god, Pat Bev. What do we say about that today?
Well, that's tough. It's tough. Like I mentioned to JJ earlier, if JJ played 17 years in the NBA and was given the freedom, that's the perfect word, the freedom that he had with the Clippers, and he had that freedom for 17 years, would he break three-point records? Of course. Of course. Do we now say JJ Redick is the greatest top 10 shooter in ever to play the game? You will have a valid answer of yes. And I just think it's the same case with Chris Paul. He's been given the keys to the Lambo at a young age. He's done great by his body, done great by his game, find a way to manipulate the referees, the president of the NBPA, you know, so the stuff they call on regular people, they won't call on him. And you do that for 17 years, you should have all the records. You should have all the numbers. But does that make you the best point guard, top 10 point guard in NBA history? I don't know.
Top 10 point guard in NBA history?
Yeah, that's what I heard. I heard something like that. Maybe he is, you know.
No. Let's be clear. I think people would suggest that was almost insulting to him to say top 10. I think there are people who would argue he might belong in the top two or three point guards all time. What would you say if someone suggested that?
I would say John Stockton, and I would say Magic Johnson. I would say those two.
Isaiah Thomas.
I'm going to just start with those.
Those two.
And I'm going to just leave it right there.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. Yeah. And so, JJ, your thoughts here. I mean, what are the right things to say about a Phoenix Suns team that, again, was so good all year long and so unimaginably bad last night?
Just to Pat's point, you know, I do think you can make a case that CP is a top five point guard. I certainly think he's a top 10 point guard. You know, my big takeaway, not only after this series, but throughout CP's career, if he's your best player or if he's your second best player, I don't know that that's good enough to win a championship. His impact on winning, let's be clear on that. New Orleans, Clippers, Phoenix, Houston, those team franchise record for wins when he went there.
Oh, so I his, should be, in, no, his I impact, should be, okay, I should be in the top, oh, I'm top 15 all time then, because every team no, I go to, we make the playoffs.
But Pat, well, Pat, there's an asterisk on that.
No, I was hurt. About it. And I was hurt.
But
and I did it again
make
this
the
year.
Playoffs.
And I was hurt. I got hurt the third game of the season, JJ. What do you want me to do?
Okay.
Microfracture, then came back and made the playoffs.
The resume, all-stars, all-NBA.
I'm with all that.
Top five in MVP voting, like steals, assists, all time. Like
You do it long enough, you should get it.
Well, Pat.
You do it 17 years, you should have numbers, JJ.
Kevin Willis didn't have numbers.
Who's Kevin Willis, JJ? Stop, bro.
Kevin Willis didn't have numbers?
Bro, if you played the game with that much freedom for 17 years, JJ, you would have all records, bro.
But why shouldn't he have that freedom? Why shouldn't he have that freedom? Why shouldn't he have the keys?
No, I didn't say he shouldn't. I just said
You're missing my larger point. I want to get to my larger point. My larger point is it's been proven. He's probably not good enough to be your best player to win a championship. And I think what it comes down to in the playoffs, and we've seen this especially now in the modern NBA, big wings matter. And all the best teams have big wings. And I'll throw Luka in there too, because he just absolutely destroyed them. It didn't matter if there was size on him, if there was CP on him. They targeted CP the whole series, and they destroyed him.
But they have big wings, right? I mean, they have Devin Booker, who's a big wing. And they have Mikal Bridges.
Stop.
Stop what?
I'm talking Jason Tatum, Jimmy Butler, LeBron James. These are big wings.
No, I get it. But Phoenix has those.
They have one.
They have one in D-Book, and that's it.
One.
And Mikal Bridges was a Defensive Player of the Year candidate.
Because they won 63 games. That's the only reason he's there.
Right. So here's what's going to happen now. Knowing you and whatever else it is, and I must say that I'm enjoying the hell out of this conversation, but there are going to be people who are going to be saying that for whatever reason you have an axe to grind with Chris Paul and that you're saying some of these things based upon some sort of personal animosity.
No, I'm saying all of this because this is what the NBA says, and players in the NBA know this. My coach used to tell my coach Finch, he told me, I'm just the weather, man. I'm just giving you, letting you know if it's raining or not, brother.
Yeah.
These are other, I'm not the only one who says this. That's other people, man. What? If I'm playing a game and I'm getting ready for the Phoenix Suns, come on. Let's go. If I'm getting a game and I'm getting ready for the Golden State Warriors, yeah, I'll holler at y'all tomorrow. I got an early one. I'm just saying, my preparation is very different.
I see.
That's all.
And that's because of Steph and Clay and all of that.
Steph. Yeah.
So people will look at Steph and Chris Paul and say they are the two preeminent players of their generation at their position. Do you compare the two of them?
No, you can't compare them. Very different players, but I agree with you what you said.
That they would be the two preeminent guys at their position.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to put any words in your mouth. I feel like you're saying that Chris Paul is overrated, that people view him in a way, but you haven't used that word, so I don't want to put it in your mouth. But is that what you're saying, that people generally overrate how great a player he is?
I think he's been in a fortunate situation to be, president of NBPA and State Farm commercials. So he's fortunate to get certain calls and games that normal guys don't usually get. I'll say that.
Fair enough. Let me get Brian Windhorst in on this conversation here. Wendy, take it anywhere you like.
He followed Phoenix the whole year. He should know.
Yes, Wendy did follow Phoenix all year long. He's in Boston today.
No, why is he in Boston? He should be in Phoenix.
Well, he was covering the East for us here.
Oh, okay, my bad. Bandwagon jumper. Got it.
But go ahead, Wendy. What is your number one takeaway here?
Bev, you are an asset to all of your teams. Congratulations on your new contract, by the way.
No, I don't need congratulations. I earned every bit of that, but I appreciate it.
But with all due respect, Chris Paul is an all-time great player, and this Suns team was a great team. Now, they were not an unflawed team. Flaws definitely showed up in the last round against the Pelicans. The Pelicans gave the Suns some problems. But Chris Paul had a world-class clutch season. And, you know, there are issues with him. His size tends to show up at the end of seasons. There are people in this league who believe that it's going to be very hard for him to win at the highest level because his size is an issue. His stamina throughout games can be an issue. As he's gotten older, he definitely has been saving his energy for the end of games. And that is something that teams can pick on in playoff settings. But there's no doubt about his greatness as a player and the excellency of this Suns team. They were a terrific team that absolutely folded. And as good as Luka is,
so that doesn't make you a great team.
He goes in and scores 50.
Hey, here's the part of it, Pat Bev.
You're making a fair point.
Yeah.
But what we're blown away, the reason we're sitting here having this discussion is because Chris Paul had set the tone that this was going to be a different outcome, the way it played this year. And what Bev's point is that maybe we shouldn't have believed that, but all of the evidence from their stats, from the way he finished the last series, when he went 14-14 in a road closeout game, pointed this is going to be different. And it wasn't different. And so now we've got to reevaluate it, and Bev is in position to do so.
Yeah, and we'll see what winds up going from here. I think there was an element of, JJ, just sort of put one final ribbon on this, and then we're going to get Stephen A. in here. And I can tell you, yesterday, because I host the NBA Countdown Show, everyone on our panel thought the Suns were going to win.
Except me.
Except you. Well, you were not with us. I needed you yesterday.
Yeah, you should have.
I got Stephen A., I got Wilbon, I got Jalen. Everyone liked the Suns yesterday. But as we put a ribbon on this here, I think there was sort of a sense going into this postseason, JJ, of if not now, when? This was going to be it. If Chris Paul isn't going to finally get this championship on his resume this year, when's he ever going to be in a better position to do it? So they didn't do it. Now what? What does that mean?
Well, you know, I do think that their title window was inherently short because of the age of CP. And if it wasn't this year, I have a hard time believing it's going to be next year.
But the rest of them are young, right? I mean, the rest of that team is young.
He's going to be a year older.
Right.
I obviously hope Devin Booker can be better game six and game seven. DeAndre Ayton, you got to make a decision on him. He wants the max. You got to make a decision on him. But then internally, I don't see that jump that somebody's going to make into that third superstar, that third star, which is really what they're missing right now. And I brought that up earlier in the show.
Yeah.
You know, I think they missed an opportunity to pick up an Eric Gordon. And not that he's a superstar, but they needed more shot creation. They're blitzing Devin Booker. CP's not aggressive. They needed a third scorer, and they just didn't have it.
And the league is going to be lit next year. This is the perfect year for Phoenix to kind of go get it done. Guys been hurt all year. The main guys been hurt. Jamal Murray, Kawhi Leonard. Next year's is going to be lit. completely lit. Probably mm-hmm. some of the best NBA basketball you see next year, and I don't, you know.
As the schedule comes back to normal, we'll remind everybody that last year's playoffs started late, all the residual holdover from COVID, so that might have contributed a lot. People had shorter summers and all that to all the injuries we saw this year, so maybe next year things go a little more back to normal. I may hold it there for a moment as we continue here this morning. The Bucks stopped here. The Celtics knocked out the champs with a three-point barrage. Is Boston now the favorite to win it all? We'll talk about that. Plus, have the Warriors found the path to another championship as they're down to the final four in the NBA. Pat Bev's with us all morning, and Stephen A. is on his way in studio as well. And we have this. Pat Bev, you're going to like this. We do something called Sneaky Hembo. It's a trivia question. Okay. JJ's under the pressure, and here's the question. What is the most common conference finals matchup in NBA history? So team versus team. What two teams have met in the conference finals the most times in the 75-year history of the NBA? The answer is next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Here we go, JJ. Sneaky Hembo, the pressure's on you. What is the most common conference finals matchup the NBA's ever had?
One of the two teams either has to be the Celtics or Lakers.
Right.
I'm going to go with Celtics. And I'm going to go Celtics Sixers.
That's correct. He got it right. That's exactly right. 13 times they have met. Hembo is devastated. Pat Bev is impressed, by the way. Pat Bev liked it. Lakers Hawks would have been next, but they've been a long way behind. Lakers Hawks 8 times. Celtics Sixers 13 times. Celtics are headed back. Let's show you how they got there yesterday. Game 7 at home against Milwaukee. And it was under 3 minutes left in the half. Milwaukee had the lead much of the first half. Giannis had a great first quarter, but then the Celtics really started taking over. JJ and Jason Tatum was a huge piece of that.
Jason Tatum had a highly efficient night, having a great game after that huge game 6. Didn't need to go for 40 in game 7, and a lot of that had to do with the supporting cast. Marcus Smart here with the follow dunk. But Milwaukee's strategy of leaving Grant Williams, a 41% three-point shooter, wide open time and time again, I just can't agree with it. And he killed him this game.
Yeah, the difference in three-point shooting was clearly the difference in this game. You just saw Tatum hitting one, but here's the point that JJ is making. Grant Williams made 7 threes in this game. 7 of 18 is the final number. He took 18 threes in this game and finished with 27 points. And, you know, the Bucks just decided that's what they were going to live with, and they just wouldn't change. And then Giannis, who's so good in this postseason, playing without Chris Middleton, maybe he just wore down against that outstanding defense, but he had an uncharacteristically tough day. 1 of 10 on contested attempts in the second half for the great Giannis. Again, Grant Williams, good for him, as he had himself a huge night. Marcus Smart knocking him down. The Celtics pull away and they win. They advance to the conference final. They'll be in Miami tomorrow night, and again, we will be there, and I'm just petitioning right now to fly Pat Bev down there as part of our coverage. How about it yesterday? How about these Celtics and their performance? Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Marcus Smart. What do you think of the Celtics right now?
First off, missed opportunity for Milwaukee.
Yeah.
When they went back home to face them, and you have to give Boston a lot of credit. Credit their coaching, credit their stars, credit the role players, credit the others. They came and made big plays. They stepped up when they should have. They deserve to win this game.
Let me ask you a question though, because you're still playing right now, and if the strategy that they employ, and JJ talked about it during the highlight, where they're going to pack the paint and they're going to live with Grant Williams beating them from three. When he keeps making them, what are the guys saying? I mean, are the guys in the huddle saying to the coach, "Coach, we got to go out and guard"? What is that conversation like?
I remember playing Boston, and the first thing that our coach told us about that Grant Williams, he shoots 50%. He leads the league and 50% at the time, I think 50% from corner three. You know, so we already had in our minds that we're running him off anytime we've seen him. Game sevens, anything can happen. So, you know, maybe you look at the coaching, maybe you look at effort. You know, I still think it's health. Chris Middleton's not healthy.
Right.
I like what JJ said earlier, them not having PJ Tucker. I like that also. So you can kind of mix a lot of that in, and, you know, it was a lot on Giannis.
Let me get Wendy here as well. Wendy covering the game for us yesterday and is still in Boston. In fact, what's the number one takeaway for you from this seven-game Celtics win?
The Celtics' small lineup, which they were forced into playing a lot more than normal because Robert Williams missed the last four games of this series, ended up going into their favor. And the other thing I would say is when you talk about Giannis Antetokounmpo in this series, you're looking at stuff that Will Chamberlain did, that Shaquille O'Neal did. You're comparing him to the 1969 finals with Jerry West when he won MVP on a losing roster. It was one of the most impressive statistical series ever. He had 200 points, 100 rebounds, and 50 assists in this series. Nobody's ever done it. And the Celtics overcame it. And yeah, like Bev said, it was because Chris Middleton wasn't there. But they still had to go to Milwaukee, who had won 8 consecutive closeout games, and win a game 6. And they get 46 from their star, Jason Tatum. Tremendous effort by the Celtics to survive the onslaught that Giannis threw at them.
Yeah. How about it, JJ? Your overall thought now on the Celtics, they go on, they'll play Miami in the Eastern Conference Final. You and I were together for some of their first round series against Brooklyn. Their defense has been so incredibly good, and Tatum emerging right now as a guy that when you need him, he's able to deliver on the offensive side.
They've been the number one defense in the playoffs so far, and they've had to go against Kevin Durant and Giannis, who are arguably the two best players in the world. We can get into some semantics there. They should absolutely be the title favorites at this point to win it all. They have probably the most complete team, the most size, the most switchable pieces. And Jason Tatum, I know who he's going to say. So they absolutely should be the title
favorites. There are four teams left, Pat Bev. You do not agree that they're the title favorite?
I mean, I can't go against JJ. He went to Duke. I went to Arkansas, so I'm going to start right there.
You can
sack it off.
Arkansas beat Duke in the championship game one year, by the way.
1 year, but I'm not going to even get there. Championship is a lot. It's a lot to push it. I don't know yet. Golden State, though.
That's your pick. Right now, there's four teams left. It can only be one of four teams.
Golden State.
Golden State, Dallas, Miami, Boston. You're picking Golden State.
Proven winners. They've done it without KD.
Who's defending Luka?
With KD.
Brian Windhorst just yelled, who's defending Luka?
No one. No one defends Luka. But who was Luka chasing?
Yeah.
Come on, let's ask the real questions now. No one. My answer to you is no one's defending Luka. Maybe you put Draymond Green on him. You know, maybe you do a little bit there, you know, but no one guy can contain Luka. But who is Luka chasing off screens?
All right, let me hold this thought here for a minute. We're coming back with plenty of this. You see, Las Vegas agrees, Caesars agrees with Pat Bev. They've got the Warriors as the favorites right now, followed by the Celtics. The Mavs are by some margin the longest shot on the board. All right, I want to also mention ESPN Plus this week. We have The Ultimate Fighter. We have Vince's Places with Vince Carter. We have the first round of the PGA Thursday from Southern Hills. We have the German Cup Final Saturday. It's a stacked sports week on ESPN Plus. And speaking of being stacked, right now we are the number two trending topic on Twitter. Stephen A's on his way in. We're going for number one. What happened to Chris Paul and the Suns? We got Pat Bev. We got JJ. We got Wendy. We got Stephen A on his way next. It's Get Up on ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
All right, we are back on Get Up, and I just want you to take a quick look. This was just a few moments ago. This is Tiger Woods on the practice tee at Southern Hills. The expectation is that he will play in this year's second major championship, which is coming up the end of this week. We'll have coverage Thursday and Friday of the PGA. Again, Tiger, and you see him walking, and look in particular as he walks down a hill there, how gingerly he walks, still challenging. But the expectation is that he will be playing this weekend in the PGA Championship. We certainly hope that he can. All right, Stephen A. has made his way in studio. Pat Bev is here. Let's show you again, if you're just getting up and didn't see it last night, the Mavericks absolutely demolished the Suns in their own building last night. And the Phoenix backcourt, Devin Booker and Chris Paul, star players, just struggled so much. 0 for 11 from the floor in the first half. And Luka Doncic just dominated this game. I keep repeating the same statistic. At halftime, the score was Phoenix 27, Luka 27. Look at Cam Johnson. Just no chance there as he goes down. Dallas just pulling away. And then you thought, okay, at halftime, maybe the Suns will come up with something, come up with at least some fight. And they didn't have any of that at all. This game was not nearly as close as the 33-point final margin would suggest. Mavericks advanced. They're on their way to the conference finals. And for Chris Paul and company, a lot of questions.
Coach says it all the time. You know, we get a chance to play basketball. You know, we compete. We want to win worse than anybody. You know, so it's unfortunate in the fashion that we lost, but we got to try to figure out ways to get better.
All right, so that is a very frustrating loss, and there's a lot of conversation this morning about Chris Paul's legacy and the history of playoff failure. I will repeat the statistic again, as the great Stephen A. Smith has joined us here, of course, and Pat Bev is in. We're a half hour away from first take. He's now lost five series in his playoff career, Stephen A., in which his team had a 2-0 series lead. That is by a fair margin the most of any player in NBA history. We've been talking about him all morning long. What are the right things to say about Chris Paul on this morning after?
There's no right thing to say about him this morning. I think that he's one of the greatest point guards we've ever seen.
You mean greatest?
One of the greatest.
What does that mean? I don't. Talk to me like I'm a 3-year-old. Okay.
Well, I just think that when you talk about a point guard, you talk about a quintessential floor leader and a floor general.
Okay.
That's how I view
him. Got it.
That's my definition of a point guard.
Got it.
Okay. So that's how I look at a point guard. And so for me, I look at it from that point, but at the end of the day, it is about results. And the reality is that not only did they lose, they got annihilated. They got a butt whipping, an epic butt whipping from the ages. And this is one of those days where you can't defend him. You can't defend Devin Booker. You can't defend anything about the Phoenix Suns. To be on your home court, to get blown out, to be down by as many as 46 points, to have Luka put on that show against you, to have all the supplementary parts jump in, to have Monty Williams, my coach of the year, I think a fantastic coach, to get out-coached by Jason Kidd, because Jason Kidd did a sensational job yesterday. There's no way to slice it. Everybody, everywhere you look for the Dallas Mavericks, star players, role players, coaching, they got beat down. The Phoenix Suns got beat down. And I think that in the case of CP3, you point out the losing the 2-0 lead. Mm-hmm. That's bad enough. But he turned 37 last Friday, and you just saw everything plummet over the last week like we've never seen. We've never seen Chris Paul look as bad as he's looked this last week. And so when you look at it from that perspective and the fact that he's 37 years of age, I believe yesterday was his last best shot to win a championship. And I don't think there's any reason for us to believe, when you look at Golden State and think about Wiseman and others coming back with the pieces they already have, when you look at Minnesota on the come up, when you look at Memphis on the come up, when you look at Luka and Dallas, they're here.
Healthy Clippers.
When you look at all of this, a healthy Clippers squad,
healthy
with Kawhi
Denver.
Leonard, Paul George, the whole bit. Why would we believe that the Phoenix Suns are going to win in the future?
And those numbers we just had up there, Pat Bev, which we showed earlier, but I want to make sure we call some attention to them, because Stephen A.'s point is extraordinarily right. Through the first 8 games of these playoffs, he was playing great. All we were talking about was how great he was playing. Look at the assist-to-turnover ratio. And then it really did. It fell off a cliff, Pat Bev. So take the floor here. Obviously, you've had some interesting comments all morning long, and I really wanted you to bounce some thoughts.
Interesting is a very good word.
Interesting is the right word. And I just would love Stephen A. to hear, just generally speaking, your thoughts on CP3 and on the series and what it all means.
Okay, now, before I say this, obviously, whatever I say about Chris Paul is going to be discredited.
But certainly not. Not by me.
Okay, well,
that's
I appreciate
for sure.
that. Thank you for your honesty.
That's right.
CP3, is he going to be a Hall of Famer? No question about it.
Yeah.
Right? No question about it. Do guys in the NBA go to sleep early the night before playing the Phoenix Suns? Hell no. No.
You mean as a team, or would you talk about Chris Paul individually?
Chris Paul individually.
Okay.
No. I'm going to Steak 44 over there in Phoenix. I'm going to have me a nice little wine, probably sweat it out, and the pregame shoot around and get ready for Chris Paul. Steph Curry, I'm going to bed at 8 o'clock. Mom, don't call me. My girl, don't call me. I'm locked in right now. It's two different monsters. That's all.
Yeah, well, listen. He plays. I don't. So if you gonna tell me that he don't go up, you ain't going to sleep early for Chris Paul, that's fine. But what I'm saying about Chris Paul is this, and this is what can't be ignored. Quintessential point guard, floor general, make others around you better, knowing everybody's job, knowing what everybody is supposed to do, and being that elite floor general, that's not deniable. Now, what I would say to Patrick Beverly and my little brother here is being a little bit disingenuous is this.
It's a hell of a word.
Let me say, well, you know, you understand it. Yeah. You're a highly intelligent brother. You act like you don't know what, you know exactly what the hell it means. The point that I'm trying to make to you about it is this. No. Why do you go to sleep early for Steph Curry? Because Steph Curry could drop 40 or 50 on you. That's why. See, you go to bed early for dudes that can embarrass you, that will literally wake up the next or go against you the next night and take you to school. So you get up to make sure they ain't going to do that to you. Most instances, that's not what Chris Paul is going to do. When Chris Paul was sensational and we were going ballistic because of what he was doing in game two, he had 28 points and 14 assists. That's not something you lose sleep over. That's a floor general that got a shot going, but he's still running the floor, running the team the way that you're supposed to do it. Where somebody like Steph Curry, you blink and he might drop 10 threes on you. You blink and he might drop 50 on you. That got Luka, for example. Luka with the 27 in the first half. Luka can drop 50 on you. Those are the dudes that you lose sleep over.
Man, ain't nobody worried about Chris Paul when we play Phoenix Suns. Nobody in the NBA.
Well, what did I just say, though?
And I'm just letting you know how NBA players feel and think.
I believe you, but what I'm saying
he's
is...
He's finessed the game to a point where he gets all the petty calls, all the swipe-throughs at the end. I mean, this guy is out, man. We going to be honest? We want to be really honest?
Yes.
He should have fouled out. He should have fouled out. The last game, too. You see the replay against Brunson. Hit him on the shoulder. Hit him in the mouth. Ref don't call anything. If that's me, oh, review it. Oh, flagrant one. If that's him, they don't call it. So let's not get it twisted, man. He should have fouled out. He can't guard. He literally can't guard.
He can't guard. Yeah. He can't. Chris Paul can't guard anybody? Is that what you say?
Did you see that? No, he can't. Everyone knows that.
Excuse me. No. I don't know that. I haven't heard anybody tell me that.
Because you haven't suited up. You know guys don't like to tell you all the truth. You know that. Because they're scared. They're scared what you're going to take with it.
No, he's right about that. They will lie. He's honest. They will lie. That is true. He's not lying about that.
Man, CP can't guard nobody, man. Everybody in the NBA know that.
He can't guard.
Everybody know that.
He can't guard anybody.
What we call them? Cone. You know what you do with cones? Like when in the summertime, you got a cone. You make a move. What does the cone do?
Stay still.
Exactly. Yeah. He's a cone. Stop playing, man. Everybody knows that. Everyone knows that. It's just y'all don't want to accept it because
no, I don't accept that.
I don't.
I'm saying again, if you're taller than him, you're saying you can shoot over him. Obviously, that's
but
an
give
issue.
Him the but, Ben Simmons but, slander. Give him the PG 13 slander. Give him the slander that you give everybody. Come on, Steve.
First of all. Watch yourself now.
Come on
watch
now.
Yourself now.
Come on now.
Don't compare CP3 to Ben Simmons.
No, I didn't
Simmons
compare. Didn't I said
ben
the
Simmons
slander.
Didn't show up.
I said the slander.
Ben Simmons didn't show up.
I said the slander.
Well, what's the slander? I'm going to give you, if you show up, listen, you, I consider a guy that's an elite defender. You know how I feel
the
about you.
The best in the world.
Well, I wouldn't say the best in the world, but I get you. I know that you're an elite defender. I'm giving you props my brother.
The best in the world.
Well, you should feel that way about yourself. I don't feel that way about you, but you should feel that way about yourself.
ESPN gave me the numbers.
That you're the best in the world?
It's Giannis at 41.3% and it's Patrick Beverly at 41.9%, which means if you have the ball and Patrick Beverly is guarding, it feels like Giannis is guarding you. I'm only 6 feet.
Yeah.
What do you want me to do?
Well, I did say
the greatest in the world.
Tama, I did say you were an elite defender. Be happy with that.
No, I can't.
Be happy with that for the moment.
Let's stay on topic.
For the moment. For the moment. My point to you is this, though. Just because you're an elite defender doesn't mean that CP3 gets to be discredited. When you look at CP3 and what he brings to the table, do you not believe he's an elite point guard?
Well, go get someone who's not an elite defender and have him up here talking to you. Y'all got Patrick Beverly up here. I'm going to give you Patrick Beverly truth. I can't give you the next man truth.
But you're comparing him to you.
Who?
CP3. I'm talking about defensive. I'm saying defensively. In other words, if you're sitting there saying that, sure. So I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt on that. But what I'm saying is most people don't defend like Patrick Beverly.
Okay,
so because of that, I can look at him in its totality, looking at the NBA and a body of individuals that play in the NBA with all of these dudes like literally asking them. It's like asking them to do, I don't even know what to come up with, to ask them to play some defense. You're going to tell me that CP3 can't defend compared to most of the NBA? Okay. I beg to differ. And I think you do too. When you compare him to most of the NBA. There's a whole bunch of cats in the NBA that can't defend.
No, when I compare him to top 10 greatest point guards ever.
Okay, all right.
I'm not looking at
him. But that's different. That's different. You said the man can't defend.
No, I'm not saying that. But now you want me to take what CP is and put him in a bottle with everyone else. I won't do that. Okay. I will not do that.
Okay.
I'm going to judge him based off exactly what you guys tell me that he is. He's a top 5 point guard. Some say arguably, some say it's not arguably. He's a top 10 point guard in all time. What would John Stockton do?
John Stockton could defend. He was a rough rider. Okay. No doubt about
it. I'm just asking, what would he do?
But I think offensively, his skill set didn't compare to CP3.
I agree.
Offensively.
But what would John Stockton do?
He was a dog.
That's all I'm saying.
He was.
That's all I'm saying.
No question about it.
What would John Stockton do?
But listen. Well, last night. I would have loved to have you here after Game 2, as opposed to after they just got blown out in Game 7.
But I said this on the show when I was in LA.
Okay. NBA Today.
I tweeted this after Game 2. This is a very interesting series. It's a very interesting series.
Okay.
If I'm the coach, and no discredit to Monty, hell of a coach.
Hell of a coach.
No. Wrong word. If it's a word better than hell, I don't know what. A heaven of a coach.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You understand? Like phenomenal coach.
Yeah.
I'm not playing CP, not as much. I'm going to be honest.
You're not playing him, but who you playing ahead of him?
I'm going to go small. I got to go small.
Who you playing ahead of CP3? I asked you a direct question.
That's not I'm playing ahead. I'm just playing for what my
team. Well, you say you ain't going to play. You got your cats on the roster. You got to pick somebody.
For what my team's needs at the time, I'm putting Devin off the ball. Maybe I'm putting Alfred Payton a little bit to kind of get under Luka. I'm doing something.
Oh, my God. You got to be kidding me. That's what's going to make me a great coach.
Then.
I say, okay. Because
you're going to be up here talking about me 20 years from now. Like, man, I remember Pat told me, man, he would have benched this main guy, and I'm going to do that. Because you know what? I'm going to do whatever it takes to win one game.
Well, listen, I got to give this man credit. I'm sitting there. We at the Beverly Wilshire.
Yes,
you know,
correct.
He just got moved. He looked at me and he was like this. We going to playoffs. We going to playoffs. That's what he said.
Have my girl with me. That's what he said.
So I'm like, okay, all right. Bev says what he's going to say. I don't always agree with him. Okay, like I don't agree with you now with what you're saying about CP3, but I would give him credit. He's always honest.
I thought you were saying we should rename this show the Beverly Wilshire, and I would after this day. It's been that kind of good. But I have to let Stephen A. go, even though it is the last thing on earth I want to do.
No, but he was right, too, and I don't mean to interrupt you.
No, please do.
I text him. I say, man, we going to the playoffs. I ain't going to say on TV what he texted me back.
Right.
But he was right.
Okay. Fair enough. He usually is. All right.
He was right.
17 minutes to first take. JJ will be over there. Pat Bev will be over there. Stephen A., awesome. Thank you, my man.
Brother.
Fans of his work. And by the way, tomorrow night we will be in Miami, meaning Stephen A. and I, and we will have NBA Countdown for you from an hour starting at 7 Eastern. That leads into the draft lottery tomorrow night, and then that leads into Game 1 of the Heat and the Celtics. So an extraordinary night of basketball tomorrow night, and it's all streaming as well on the ESPN app. All right, coming up, we have a whole lot more to do with Pat Bev in here. We talk about the Sixers drama. We got the Lakers have all kinds of questions. We'll get Pat Bev's take on all the big stories around the NBA as we roll on. You're watching Get Up at the Beverly Wilshire on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
It was a day and a night filled with Game 7s. Before I get back to Pat Bev, let me show you what happened on the ice last night. Pens, Sidney Crosby back for the Game 7 against the Rangers after missing a game with a concussion. We're under 3 minutes left in the second. We're tied at 2. The Rangers had a power play, but Evan Rodriguez had other ideas. The steal, the shorthanded goal. The Penguins up 3-2 going into the third. So season on the line for the Rangers. Less than 6 minutes to play. Pens are trying to clear, but they can't get it done. And it's Mika Zibanejad open in the right faceoff circle, the wrister, and it's good, top shelf. We're going to overtime. Could you ask for more drama than overtime in a Game 7 of a playoff series? Here's how the game winner sounded on MSG.
Now Panarin goes in, he shoots, he scores! He scores! Rangers, Rangers, Rangers win!
That's Sam Rosen with the call. Artemi Panarin with the overtime winner, the second of his career in the playoffs. Rangers will face the Carolina Hurricanes in the next round. Meanwhile, also last night, Stars and Flames Game 7. Pick it up midway through the second. Stars up 2-1, and it's Johnny Gaudreau going to drop it for Matthew Tkachuk. And Matthew Tkachuk, nice placement. We go to overtime in this one as well. What a day it was in sports. Overtime tied at 2. Jake Oettinger was so good in goal all night long. Made stops from practically every angle. 64 saves on the night for Oettinger. But in the end, he would need at least a 65th. Here's Bob Wischusen with the call. And the celebration is on in Calgary. They win it 3-2 in overtime. They move on. They will play the Oilers in the next round. Meanwhile, back to the NBA again with Pat Bev here. And the 76ers season came to an end last Thursday night. And the beginning then of all kinds of questions that we will have during this offseason about Philly. What will they do about James Harden and his contractual status? What will they do about head coach Doc Rivers? The initial comments from the GM, Daryl Morey, are that we should expect Rivers to be back as the coach next year. Again, Pat Bev is here, J.J. Redick. And Wendy, I'll start quickly with you. Daryl Morey said to expect Doc to be back next year. But I know a lot of people seem to react to that with some question. Give us a quick overview on the off-season questions in Philly.
Yeah, he doth protest too little. The league was very surprised at how firmly that Daryl Morey came out and said Doc Rivers would be back. And my phone started lighting up from general managers and agents wondering if this was a negotiating position. If the Lakers want to hire Doc Rivers, and if, I don't know for sure that's the case, they would love him to be fired by the Sixers. Then they could hire him and have the Sixers pay part of his salary and not have to give anything for him. By coming out and saying Daryl Morey will, or that Doc Rivers will be our coach, Daryl Morey is taking a negotiating position that if you want him, Los Angeles Lakers, you're going to have to take this contract off my books and you're going to have to call me and make me an offer of draft picks. So we'll see how that plays out.
Okay, fair enough. So now, let me come over to back to Pat Bev. So at the very beginning of our day today, when we were talking about Chris Paul, you said all the slander that people aim at James Harden, I don't hear any of that here. It felt to me like you feel Harden is, I don't want to put words in your mouth, treated unfairly at times by the media, maybe here. I'm giving you the floor here. Your thoughts on Harden now, who goes into what I think is an interesting offseason.
First off, Doc Rivers is not going anywhere.
Okay.
If I'm Daryl Morey, I'm not letting a coach like that just leave.
Okay.
Just leave. That's mm-hmm. first off. Second off, James Harden, he should have received MVP maybe 3 times. Right? When I played with him, he was doing things I've never seen a basketball player ever do. Right? Does he come up short in the playoffs? Yeah. But does he hold the weight of a team? Assists, points. It was a point where him and Russ were going tit for tat in his career for triple doubles,
mm-hmm.
and the man has a bad series, and we just write him off like that so fast. But then when it comes to other people, we don't. I'm just trying to get the balance of consistency or the inconsistent consistency, because I don't understand it sometimes.
I think generally people may look at him maybe because of the extraordinary usage rate that he had all those years as though he has gotten worn down and just isn't that guy anymore. No one questions what he was then. Yeah. But the question is, can he still be that?
Yeah, I think you bring a player who, and I've played for Doc. As a point guard, it's extremely hard to play for Doc.
Why?
Extremely hard, just because he demands so much. Right, he demands so much as a great coach. You should. So it's an adjustment period. So coming here, halfway during the season, playing in Doc's system, you have to get used to it. It's not a system where you can just jump in and just run with it. JJ mm-hmm. knows that.
Yeah.
And to also be put with a ball dominant center, something he's never had in his career ever before. Of course, that's going to take time. But now, after half of a season, we're going to sit here and say this man doesn't deserve the max. Like, come on, that's not fair.
Let me get some thoughts here, JJ. What do you take away from all of it?
Well, the Sixers should absolutely bring James Harden back. There's no question. Like, he's still a phenomenal basketball player, a guy that's going to give you 20 points, double-digit assists. You know, the big question mark for me is his health and the length of whatever the next contract is. Do I want to be paying James Harden $60 million at 37? No. I'm not sure any team in the league would want to do that. But you have to bring him back. He gives you a chance to win. And the question mark is on that hamstring. And, like, can he get back to being the James Harden that we saw before? Specifically with getting by his defender. Because, look, the advanced stats, they got tracking cameras. You know this. They got tracking cameras. They show, you know, his blow-by rate went from 45% the last few seasons to 30%. They show that his top speed went from 18 to 19 miles per hour to 16 to 17 miles per hour. So maybe it's the hamstring, maybe it's age, maybe it's all the wear and tear, but he's still a great player. Yeah. He's still a great player.
I have 30 seconds left. Give me a quick final thought on however you'd like.
Well, if based on what JJ's telling me, I'm looking at the sports and science coming from Philly now. I'm looking at the guys who are in the weight room. The guy that was in the weight room with him in Houston, Javar, he's our head guy in Minnesota. We didn't have any injuries.
Yeah.
We were one of the healthiest teams in the NBA. So I look at everything. I'm just not looking. If I'm going to look at health, I'm going to challenge Philadelphia to be better, if it's that standpoint.
All right, I have to take a break. Pat Bev, just awesome today. I can't tell you how much we've enjoyed having you here, and there's much more of him coming. He'll be on First Take coming up top of the hour. So will JJ. This is going to be crazy. Stephen A. in there, Molly today, JJ, Patrick Beverly, all the Game 7 drama from yesterday. Do not miss the conversation continuing top of the hour here on ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, don't miss the year's second major right here. We'll have coverage Thursday on ESPN, ESPN Plus, and more exclusive morning coverage on ESPN Plus of the PGA Championship. The expectation is Tiger Woods will play. And a quick final word, Damian Woody, I think, speaks for us all when he says Pat Bev was refreshing and amazing this morning on Get Up. And the news is good. He's not done. He's across the hall right now getting set to take over on First Take. Don't miss it. They're coming up next right here, right now on ESPN.